inspiration for this hymn is Psalms 96 and 98. They're fairly short. I'm going to read both of them. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. And then Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into glorious song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. And then over to Isaiah. Isaiah 52, right through to the end of 54. It's a long reading, but you can follow along. Awake. Awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake off the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now, therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? The rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all day long my name is despised. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, the day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now that's quoted in Romans chapter 10. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice together, they sing for joy. For eye to eye, they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart. Get out from here, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go out in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant will act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many as were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance, his form beyond that of the children of man. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told, they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of the ground. He had no form or majesty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. And they make his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercessions for transgressors. Sing, O barren one, who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of the one who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For who will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and with people the desolate cities? Fear not. For you will not be ashamed nor confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, the reproach of your widowhood, you will remember no more. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord called you like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she was cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. And this is the days of... This is like the days of Noah to me, as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So I have sworn that I will no longer be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Now notice, these words are not to individuals. This word is to the nation of Israel. As I've judged you, but I'll have compassion. I'll establish you and restore you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in anemone and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of agate and the gates of carbuncles and all of your wall of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. If anyone stirs up strife, it's not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire with coals and produces a weapon for his purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. Again, this is a word for Israel. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that reviles against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. This hymn, Joy to the World, it was written in 1719. What's that? 300 years ago? By Isaac Watts. He studied at the Academy of the Reverend Thomas Rowe and became assistant minister of the Independent Church in Berry Street in London, and in 1702 became the pastor. And then in 1712, he became the pastor of Abbey Park, Abney Park. This hymn was based on his own testimony, by Psalms 96 and 98, and was first published and is the most published hymn in North America. I found that quite interesting. When published by Pastor Watts in the Psalms of David Imitated in 1719, this hymn was under the heading The Messiah's Coming and Kingdom. As I began to research this hymn, it became clear by his own testimony, this was not about the birth in Bethlehem. This is about the second coming of Christ, establishing his kingdom. And when you review those words, it all of a sudden it makes sense. It becomes very clear. This is not about the birth in Bethlehem. This is about the return of the king. In the scriptures, there are two main streams of prophecy concerning the Messiah or the Christ. One of the suffering servant. We see that very vividly at the end of Isaiah 52 and all of 53. And it is that of the servant king when he returns and establishes rule over Israel, and he takes Israel by defense, and he says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. It was interesting to me that within days of the reestablishment of the nation of Israel in 1948, that the Arab states around it attacked it. But they were not victorious. No weapon fashioned against Israel will prosper. I remember Brother Pritchard, one of my profs at Bible College, had newspaper clippings. And in the 12-day war, when Egypt came up through the Sinai against Israel, they came with, I don't know the right term. I was going to say garrisons, but that's not right. But they came with tanks that were given to them by Russia. And they got within range of Israel, and the Israelites had no armament, really. They're out there with rifles and machine guns and pistols, and they're coming against these tanks. And the Egyptians went to counter them, and they couldn't get the tanks to start. Not only that, they couldn't get the tanks to fire. So they fled. And Brother Pritchard had a newspaper or article from the Vancouver Sun where when Israel got into the tanks, they started them up and they drove them home. That's where they got their first tanks from. No weapon formed against them would prosper. And then years later, when I was in Bible college, you know, and that was not in the 50s, you know, they sold the tanks back to Russia. Russia had given the tanks to Egypt. Egypt comes against them. He couldn't get them to work, couldn't get them to fire. They fled, and they were pursued by the tanks that were given to them by Russia, manned by the Israelis, and then years later, the Israelis sell the tanks back to Russia. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. He's come to establish the nation of Israel. We have these two main streams. So we look at, first, the suffering servant. Isaiah 52, if you're still there, go to the end of 52, and you look at verse 14. For as many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of man. After the illegal trial, and he was beaten, I don't know how many here have seen Mel Gibson's movie. Now the name of it is escaping me. The Passion. I had some people where I was pastoring at the time that refused to see it because they thought it was too brutal. And I remember saying to one, I said, you got to be kidding me. Because what they did in the movie didn't even begin to touch what in reality happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was like a piece of raw meat. To look at him, it says you didn't even know he was human. By his stripes, we're healed. By his blood, we are saved. It's incredible. Then you go to chapter 53, verse 2. For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. In the natural, there is nothing to draw you to Jesus. You know? I look at some of these glamorous people that people are you know, following, and when Jesus said, follow me, there was nothing in the natural to attract you to him. The scripture says that. You know? Verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him stricken, smitten, not by men, smitten by God, and afflicted. What he endured to pay the price of my transgressions. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we're healed. Now, these two streams of prophecy tend to interlace with one another. And that's exactly what we see happening in Isaiah 52, 53, and 54. The one stream deals with the suffering Messiah. And this was so confusing to the people of Israel. Even the disciples had problems with trying to figure this out. Remember in the book of Acts in chapter 1, after the resurrection, and they're talking with Jesus, and they look at him, and they've witnessed. I mean, Peter during the suffering of Christ denies him three times. I don't know him. And here it is, coming onto the day of ascension, 50 days, afterwards. Not quite 50 days, because Pentecost was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But at the day of ascension, he's lifted up before them. But prior to that, Peter looks at him and says, is this now the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They couldn't deal with, they couldn't handle the whole idea that their Messiah, their deliverer, their Holy One would be put to death. But now he's risen. What a relief that is. I like the words of Jesus on Resurrection Day. Go tell the disciples and Peter. And Peter wants, is this now the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So we have the servant king, Isaiah 52, 6 to 7. Look at this portion. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day. What day? Not the day of his birth. Not the day of his crucifixion. Not the day of his resurrection, but the day of his return. He's coming again. The reality of the first advent, the first coming, the birth in Bethlehem, the reality of that, as literal and as true as that was, folks, so will be the return of Christ. And in that day, therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. And there's a comma, and then there's three little words. Here I am. The scripture teaches us in other places that when he returns, the whole world's going to see it. Then you have verse 7, which is quoted in Romans 10, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness and publishes salvation, who says to the world, who says to Zion, Jerusalem, your God reigns. Here he is. He is going to reestablish dominion authority out of Jerusalem. And the scripture teaches he'll reign for 1,000 years. And all the earth will see it. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice together, they sing for joy. For eye to eye, they see the return of the Lord to Zion. He's coming again. I had a dear soul say to me earlier today that we know how it ends. Amen, we do. We've cheated. We looked at the end of the book. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. He's coming again. Joy to the world. Yeah. Josh, I'm going to get you to Google Joy to the World, just the lyrics. And I'm going to at the end of the message, before we go to the closing hymn, I'm going to have you come up and read just the words. Let it register. Let it resonate in your soul. Every time at Christmas that we're singing Joy to the World, we're not talking about the birth in Bethlehem. We're talking about the return of the King coming to reign and to rule. Luke 2:11 says, for unto us is born this day David, in the city of David, a Savior who's Christ the Lord. we're back to the suffering servant. Jesus is walking by, and John the Baptist sees him, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4 says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and in which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I have delivered to you as of first importance that which I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians 15, 17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins." These two streams of prophecy, the first, the suffering Christ, who dies for you and I to redeem us. Then the king comes again. Isaiah 52, 6 to 7. Isaiah 54, look at verses 4 through 8. "Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a wife, deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says God. For a moment I deserted you." Who? Not you. He put Israel into judgment. They were taken off into captivity. A remnant returns. He says, "Yeah, I will yet establish the land." 1948, that happened. That was a literal thing. "And I declare unto you on the authority of the word of God that his second coming will be as literal as the reestablishment of the nation of Israel in 1948. It happened. And Christ is coming again. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you. But with everlasting love I'll have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer." He's coming again. And he's going to rule from the nation of Israel. Matthew 21, verses 5 to 9. "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples, when they did as Jesus had directed them, they brought the donkey and the colt and put him on the cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches in the trees, and they spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Christ, the suffering servant, went in to Jerusalem, he had warned them already. He said, "I need to be put to death and raised the third day." Israel didn't understand that. When he entered, they're looking not for a lamb. They're looking for a king, someone to get them out of bondage. I've already stated, Peter wanted to know, is this now the time you're going to reestablish the kingdom? Two streams of prophecy. John 19, 19 to 21, Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription from the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather 'this man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I've written." When Christ died on the cross, he covered your sin and my sin. He redeemed us to God. He brings us into him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But there's one final prophecy at his death, the King of the Jews. We don't see that today. But I declare to you on the authority of the Word of God, that day is coming. And sooner than we think. Jesus called it the last days 2,000 years ago. If it was the last days 2,000 years ago, beloved, we're at the end of the last days. How much time we have, I don't know. But my heart cries out like in the book of Revelation, even so, Lord Jesus, come. I've already referred to Acts chapter 1, but let's read it. Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day when he was taken up after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after the suffering, after his suffering, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he has said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons that the Father has fixed in his own authority. It's coming. I'm not going to try to tell you when it's going to be. If Jesus said he didn't know, how would I know? Go to Zechariah, and then we're going to close with two readings of Scripture from the book of Revelation. Zechariah, it's the second last book of the Old Testament. If you're Malachi, just go to the left a little bit. Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 9. How I missed the lapel mic. There we go. Behold, the day is coming from the Lord. Study through the Scripture. In that day. Behold, there is a day coming from the Lord, when the spoil taken from you will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses plundered, and the women raped. Half of the city shall go into exile, and the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against the nations as when he fights on the day of battle. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that half of the mountain shall move north and the other half southward. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, and the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel. And you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come. Then. Hasn't happened yet. Then the Lord my God will come. And what does it say? And all his holy ones with him. One of my prophets says, kept reminding us, you can't come with him except you're with him. Pastor, do you think the church's going to go through the time of great trouble of Jacob's time? No, we're going to be with the Lord. And when he comes, we're coming with him as the bride of Christ. On that day, there shall be no light, cold, or frost. And there shall be a unique day, which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time there shall be light. On that day, Living water shall flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the east, eastern sea, and half of them to the western sea. It shall continue in summer as in winter. Eastern sea and western. What's east of Jerusalem? The Dead Sea. And it's going to be filled with fresh water flowing from God. That which is stagnant and stale will be brought to life. What's the western sea? The Mediterranean. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one, and his name will be one. So we have the suffering servant, we have the servant king, and then there's a final revelation of Christ. In the book of Revelation, as we look at the closing two chapters, we're going to read these, and then Josh is going to come up and read for us just the words of joy to the world. Chapter 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be peace for 1,000 years, and there's going to be a final judgment. Remember in Romans 8, it says, all of nature is moaning and groaning and travailing, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Earth needs to be redeemed. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Now, look at it's not prepared for the bride. It's prepared as a bride. We are the habitation of God now and forever. We're the New Jerusalem. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Know you're not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're no longer your own, but you've been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6. Prepared as a bride, adorned for husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Do you believe this? This is trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the springs of the water of life without payment. And the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly and the faithless and the detestable, as for murderers and sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, full of the seven last plagues, and they spoke to me, saying, come, and I will show you the bride and the wife of the Lamb. Do you understand that the Bible teaches that there are two brides? We're the bride of Christ, and Israel is the bride of God. Two lines of prophecy. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like Casper, clear as crystal. And it had a great high wall with 12 gates, and the 12 gates, 12 angels. And on the gates were the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. And on the eastern, on the east, three gates, and on the north, three gates, and on the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and its walls. The city lies foursquare. Its length is the same as its width. And it measured the city with its rod, 1,200 strata to the length and width and height are equal. It's a huge cube. He also measured his walls, 144 cubits, by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. And the wall was built of casper, while the city was of pure gold and clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. It was casper and sapphire and the third aggregate, and emerald, onyx, carnelian, crystalline, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, jacin, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were the 12 pearls. Each of the gates was made with a single pearl. The city of the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent. Listen, this city is you and I. There's a wonder, there's a beauty that is to happen to you and I. We're going to be transformed. I don't understand this, but I believe it. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon or sun or shine on it, for the glory of the Lord gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no more night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's you and I. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. This reminds me of the scene in Ezekiel where a river flowed out from the side of the altar. The further out you went, the greater the river became. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side, were the tree of life with 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing for the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. The night will be no more. There will be no need for lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. He said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord, the God of the Spirit of the prophets, he has sent his angel to show the servants what must soon take place." It's 2,000 years ago. It was soon then. It's sooner now. And behold, I'm coming. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I had heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book." That's you and I, if we keep it. "Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words, the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." It's closer now. "Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous shall do right, and the holy shall be holy. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things. For the churches, I am the root and the descendant of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let everyone who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which is described in the book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The last verse, "The peace of the Lord Jesus be with you all." Amen. The suffering servant, the servant king, and then the supreme king. Brother, you want to come and just read that?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Joy to the world. I'm sorry here. He rules the world with truth and grace. And makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love.